If you would, find Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. Let me read them to you. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. They said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Let's pray together. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his heart? May he hear from you, his children. Tell him you love him. Now let your prayer move to being grateful and thankful who the Lord is, what he does, what he's revealed to you, how he leads you through. Just let the Holy Spirit highlight in your heart what you need to give thanks for. We want you to pray for other people, people who are on your heart and mind, you carry a burden for. It may be a long burden, it may be a recent burden, but they're there in your life. Pray for them by name, if you will, and pray about their situation, whatever. Mention it to our Heavenly Father. It could be financial, it could be physical, meaning there's a sickness or a disease. It could be just the emotional stress of life, the anxiety they may carry. It could be spiritual, not only direction, but also relationships. They need relationships, godly relationships. It can be financial. Whatever it is, would you lift them up and lift their situation up to our Heavenly Father? Let's pray for nations. Let's pray for the peace of the war between Russia and Ukraine. People are displaced, killed, have left their homeland. There's a need of relief and resource. I know it could be out of sight, out of mind for us. I know we can live that way. We pray for peace in that war between Israel and Gaza. All that's involved there. There's a relief effort that is happening, needs to happen. We just pray for peace there. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And don't forget, we forget about the hostages. I said this to Julie last night. We quickly forget about them. Pray for their release, their freedom, their safety, their care. Pray for our nation. Wisdom, godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, not Wall Street wisdom, godly wisdom. Our Father is always at work. We don't always know what he's doing or why, but he's always at work. And let's tell him today that we trust him. Pray that our nation would turn back, our hearts would turn back to our God. Pray with me for the persecuted church. There are people who went to service today, public service, people, pastors who prepared to preach that were arrested in prison. Some will be sent to hard labor. Some would be sent to long jail sentences. And you go, well, how do I pray for them? Not that they'll be persecuted. Well, his word says would be persecuted, but pray for his presence. God's presence makes all the difference in the world of where you are, what's going on. Pray for his presence, that it would be strongly, strongly revealed to not only those who are the persecuted church, but also to those who are holding them captive. Would you take a moment and pray a blessing over those people who are around you today? Even if you don't know them. And then would you pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be. We ask the Lord to bless the offering that's been taken today. But there's a greater offering here, and that's our lives. That we become living sacrifices. Lord, we brought some tithes and offerings today, but more than that, we bring us. We're an offering to you. And we say thank you. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. I'm under a great and a more strict judgment. Just in real earthly terms, Lord, you're harder on me than you are anybody else in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. Thanks for being here. We're still focusing on God's strength, really, really highlighting that in our sermons like recently. Probably doing that until after Labor Day. And that he demonstrates his strength, but he chooses when and where to do that. But not only is he strong and he demonstrates his faith, he also strengthens us. That's something that I want you to get and to understand today. So here's the setting. The word Exodus is an Old Testament book, but listen to this carefully. It's an Old Testament book that was written in Hebrew, but through the times, it's been given a Greek title. So the title is Greek, and the Old Testament would have been originally written in Hebrew. So E-X means out of, and Odos means road. So Exodus is the Greek word for the road out. The road out of, where Moses is coming to lead his people out of captivity in Egypt. And the setting is they've just seen an incredible display of God's power, his strength, his care. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've made it through the Red Sea. If you follow the story and you'll read it, God had moved them around before they passed through the Red Sea. And in moving them around, it looked real confusing. In fact, the writer said that the enemy, the Egyptians, saw them moving around in all these weird strategies that he said, they're confused. So let's take them. Let's grab them, probably a good wartime strategy. In their confusion, let's go capture these people. But God did that moving around on purpose. God instructed them to go here and there, and it looked like they were confused. In fact, if you were to see the setting on a map, it looks like God himself is leading them into this trap. That there's no way out. They're hemmed in every way you can think about being hemmed in. And so there's this confusion. They seem trapped. And so the enemy, the Egyptians alike, right now we've got them. I mean, they're fish in a barrel. You know, they're sitting ducks. So let's just go on and take them now. And they're confused. They don't know where to go. They're trapped, hemmed up. And here they come. Here comes the Egyptian army after them. But as the old country preacher said, but God, right? But God. God instructed Moses, and Moses, in a great display of God's power, the seas part. And it says the muddy, murky floor of that sea becomes dry ground. And they crossed over. God was setting a trap, but it wasn't for the people of Israel. He was setting a trap for the Egyptian army. And he'd been showing his display of power to them even before they were released from Egypt. And he continues to show this display of power. So they crossed on dry ground. And when they got through, the waters collapsed and it consumed the enemy, and they made it to the other side. And it says they celebrated there. And their celebration is that they sang. They turned it into a song. Now, I'm not much of a singer, but I want you to know, if I had been a part of that, I'm trapped, I'm hemmed in, the enemy's just going to just pick us off one at a time. We have nowhere to go, but God parts the waters, dries up the land, and goes across. Let me tell you, I'd have been a worship leader if I'd have gotten to the other side. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if I couldn't have sung. I'd have found the tallest rock I could get on and go, we are going to sing. Why? Because we have made it through. God has demonstrated his power, and he hemmed them in just to show his power. You and I can look at it and go, he hemmed them in not knowing what he was doing, but the whole time he was setting up another display of God's power. So when we look at Exodus 15:2, we're going to begin with, the Lord is my strength. And Moses brings this out. This display of power, it was for them. It was for them. When God does something miraculous, he doesn't do it just to scratch his power itch, okay? Like, I've got this build-up power, I want to do something. When God displays his work, he's doing it for several reasons. One, to show himself strong. But not only that, he will display his power just for you. And he will display his power for those who are yet to believe. So when he does it for a specific reason. And he has displayed his power for them. That's why Moses leads them in saying, the Lord is my strength. He is my strength. I know that, and I borrow this from a writer who said, human strength is inadequate for tough challenges and situations. And I added to it, you can't just will it. You can't just go, well, man, I'm just going to toughen up. I'm going to get the dry washcloth and just bite down so I can take the pain. And some of us get into it and we're going, man, this life struggle is in front of me and I'm just going to stand strong and I'm just going to muster up the energy and I'm just going to will it. Do you understand? Do I have to tell you that the life struggles that you and I have or will encounter or are encountering, it's the most important part of that life struggle is our faith. It's the most powerful part of going through that life struggle. It's not willing it, showing that I'm strong or I can endure this last sprint. I remember in college baseball, my last sprint, they were watering the field and my feet were killing me. I've been in spikes all day long. I took my spikes off, took my socks off, and I just ran my sprints through the water sprinkler. I mean, what's he going to do? Is he going to cut me from the team? It was our last game, you know? So I just ran through there going, man, this is freedom. And I've had to run those things all my life. And I said, I'll never run them again. Now I've run, just not sprints. But you could will it, you know, that last lap, that last lift, that last sprint, that last few hours of work, that, you know, I understand you can reach in and get that. But when it comes to life struggles, your faith is the strongest part of you. It's the strongest part of your life, and it's the most important part. And when he says, the Lord is my strength, he is saying, Moses is telling the people and leading the people that he's my fortress, my strong defender. He's where I run. He's where I run. I want you to know that as we rely on the Lord, as we grow older, and I mean age-wise, and as we grow older in our faith years and then also our earthly years, we don't become independent of God. We become more dependent on God. It's never an independence of God. And God is displaying his power so that these people will remember what he's able to do, so that they will have confidence putting their faith and trust. Julie and I are coming up on 42 years of marriage. We depend on the Lord now more than we did in 1982. We depend on the Lord now more than we ever have. Right now in our church, I depend on the Lord now more than I did when we started in 1998. You're going, well, man, our leadership should be where we don't depend on the, we depend on the Lord less. No, I depend on the Lord now. When I say this, Steve Cornish oversees our land and our all of our buildings, getting things fixed, checked out, permits, everything we have to do. He does all that. And there's a lot to do. You just see Sunday morning. There's a lot that goes on. Amy has learned in her time and years of being with us already, there's a lot that goes on. So over the past couple of weeks, we've had two air conditioners go out. If you want to know the cost of those, I could tell you. It's huge. We've had three refrigerators go out, and you're going, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, we have a daycare. Things have to be refrigerated. We've had three refrigerators go out. We've been working in this playground back here, and we thought it would just be a short timeline. But if you're new to Anderson County and Franklin County, we raise rocks here. I don't know if you know that. And there's a big slab out there that didn't want to give, you know. So it what turned into a little project, and we needed to update it because we are under specifications because of our daycare. So things have to be just so-so for inspections and otherwise. What turned into seemingly a small job has become a big job. What seemed to be grant money has turned into Joash chest money, okay? So we've got three refrigerators, two air conditioners, a playground. We've got a leak somewhere between the street and the trailer bays. We're hoping that it's just something in the bathrooms, but we don't know. We've got a lot of stuff going on, all right? And you're going, now you're not going to tell me you take that to the Lord, are you? Well, of course I do. Yeah. I take that to the Lord. And Steve Cornish is awesome at what he does. But man, it's just hitting. Now that's all stuff that's fixable. On top of that, just the crush of bad news with people of cancer in the last few weeks, last few days actually. On top of that, as a pastor, a family friend back home took his life. And my brother's, one of my brother's best friends growing up, but very close to us. And so I don't know about you, but are y'all listening to me this morning? Where do you run? Do I just need to toughen up and go, the Eatons are tough? And man, you bring it on, you know, whatever it is. Well, no, you don't will it. You come to the point where I've got to take this stuff to the Lord. It affects ministries. It affects focus away from ministry sometimes, just to be able to put all this stuff together. And when God displays his power, he's not doing it just to show off. God is displaying this power for unbelievers to see and for believers to become more confident in who he is. That's why he displays his power. And something's going on all the time. Now, my generation claims the original Saturday Night Live, okay? I can remember when Julie and I dated in the 70s that our date included coming back home to watch the original Saturday Night Live cast. Do you all remember a character on Saturday Night Live back in my day who was called Rosanna Dana? Do you all remember her? And Rosanna Dana would come on and she would say, my father always told me there's going to be something. And that's it. That was all she say. And it's just true. I've said that over and over and over and over. I've said that about things, whether it's two air conditioners, three refrigerators, a water line break, more to do on the playground, or it just goes on and on, or whether it's a good friend has taken his life and a family is in grief and shock and the cancer news is highlighted and it just goes on. Sometimes you've got to realize that you can't just will it through that. I know some of the staff's going to, I've been singing this at the office this week because I grew up with Popeye and I wanted to be like Popeye, right? And Amy, you're already laughing. I know you are. And so I go around the office going that I fights to the finish because I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, right? And listen, we can't will it. You got to go to the Lord to get your strength to be able to go through some of your writing. Are you writing down the Popeye thing? Are you? Is that what you're doing? We have got to realize our strength comes from Him, even to get through normal things that seem to just stack up. And God does what He does. He leads us through, and we build our confidence and our faith in Him. The second thing in the passage, the first was the Lord is my strength. Moses says the Lord is my song. It's a song of celebration. It's a song of worship. They've seen great things and they're going to sing. It's about being in the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord can compel us to sing. I know there are other forms of worship. Don't go thinking that music and singing is the only form. It's just a form. Prayer. Being in the Word, communion, baptism, there's a meditation on His Word. There's all kinds of things that are displays and other forms of worship. But we do rank music and singing at a pretty high level of worship. Remember, it's not the only form, it's just a form, but it becomes a high form of worship. And so you see great things and you sing. So you're in the presence of the Lord. Look at Colossians 3:16 for just a moment. Let the message or the word of God or the word of Christ, the Messiah, dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And then look, that's the presence of God, that first part. Then look what happens when you're in the presence of God. And singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. I know you sing. I know you do. You know you do. You sing in your car. You know that. It's a good day. Things are going good. Something comes on. And you just sing. You and I do that. Let's go ahead. Let's get more confessional. We've all taken the hairbrush in our bedroom and looked into the mirror on our dresser, and we've sung deeply into that hairbrush that we're using as a microphone. You know you've done that. I can remember growing up, and I was giving that mirror my best Peter Frampton, you know, and I was trying to make the voice like the voice box of "Do you feel, you know, like I do, you know," and just in that hairbrush, just going to it, you know. We sing. Our nature is to sing. Our nature is to sing in celebration. We sing birthday songs at celebrations and birthdays. In fact, I learned that if I want to adequately wash my hands, that I need to sing happy birthday to myself twice while I'm washing my hands, and that's the length of time and an adequate amount of time for my hands to be thoroughly washed. So I'm at the sink, even in public restrooms, and I'm going, you know, and I go to, and I do sing happy birthday to Jeffro, happy birthday to me, and that way I know I've gone through two happy birthdays and my hands are clean. We sing songs at holidays. We sing songs at events. We just sing. We sing. And Moses said, "The Lord is my song." The Lord becomes my song. Sometimes I end my prayers with the usual amen, which means yes or so be it. But a lot of times I will end my devotional prayers with a song. I'll get on Spotify. I'll find Matt Redman, or I'll find Phil Wickham, or Paul Baloche, or somebody like that. And I'll find a certain song, and I'll play the song as my prayer, and I will sing along with it in a response to my prayer. I'm in His presence. Listen to me. There's a lot goes on in our lives. You can't just will it. You have to be in His presence. There's a lot of overwhelming decisions to make. So when we're in His presence, He puts a skip in my step. Do you want to finish that? And a song in my heart. But I have confidence that he's going to lead me through. This Exodus 15:2 is so important that I want you to see where the psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 14, he just repeats what Moses led and said and sang. So David takes this and uses the exact same thing that Moses did with the people when they crossed the Red Sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Isaiah the prophet did the same repeat. It was so important that Isaiah wrote, "Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For Yahweh the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." They repeated it. They repeated what Moses declared and Moses led. The Lord is my strength and the Lord is my song. Back to Exodus 15:2, it says, "The Lord is my salvation." He is my salvation. They've just been rescued, folks. They've gone through the Red Sea. I'd be singing too, told you that earlier. But you're thinking, man, the Red Sea is one of the greatest things that I've ever seen in the display of God's power. And even though it is great, it's not the greatest. Moses was a deliverer, and he was picked as a deliverer early on. God had his hand on him to be a deliverer for his people. But there is a greater deliverer that came to us, and his name is Jesus. Moses, and God used Moses to lead him through the Red Sea, but God uses his son Jesus to lead me and you through death in the grave. And going through death in the grave is greater than going through the Red Sea, even though it's great. It's phenomenal that he's led us through that. And it's called the Great Escape, that Moses leading them through the Red Sea, it was a great escape. But I want you to know there's a greater escape. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "We must therefore pay even more attention to what we have heard." Pay attention is key here. "To what we have heard, so that we will not drift away." And just leave it there at verse 1. How many times, can I say, how many times have I told you that the first thing the enemy will do to you is to make you drift away from the Word of God, the house of God, and the people of God? Will you all try to tell me how many times I've said that to you all? Do you all see that right here again? That one of the first things the enemy will try to do is to drift you away. "We must therefore, we pay even more attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away." That's the first move. The first move is just to get you to not paying attention and going on and thinking life has a better order to give you and a better offer to give you and start drifting you away. In verse 2, "For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding," meaning that what the angels, they're messengers of God, and what they came and said was true. It happened. Legally binding. "And every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment," because it's all just and fair, "how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" And the word neglect here means you just take it lightly. I mean, it's just like, man, I've heard of Jesus. I'm glad he did what he did. I'm all that. There's just no interest. I was listening to a podcast two weeks ago, and two preachers were on the podcast, and one of the pastors that was being interviewed is from Canada, and he said he grew up in the church like probably most of us did. I mean, we're here, we're the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, you know, so we probably all grew up in church to some extent. And he said, when I was growing up in church, traditional church, he said, we had two groups of people. We had the church and the unchurched. I can go up to a stranger in this area and go, "Where do you go to church?" And it's not awkward. It's just not an awkward question. You get to talk about where do you go to church? It's pretty much a basic question here. He said, so I grew up with the church unchurched. He said, today, that those two groups have switched. It's the interested and the not interested. In the not interested, this is a warning. How are you going to, what's your plan of escape if you neglect and take lightly the gospel of Christ? How else are you going to escape? It was first spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Verse 4, at the same time, God also testified by his demonstration of power, by signs and wonders, various miracles, and distribution of gifts to us from the Holy Spirit according to his will. He doesn't just do something magnificent just so you can go, wow, look what God did, his power. He will demonstrate his power, but he'll do it to an unbeliever so that they would believe, and he'll do it to believers so that you will have more confidence. And how are you going to escape if you absolutely don't take seriously the person and the gospel of Christ? What's your plan? What is your plan? How is it going to happen? Well, I was raised by, these were my mom and dad, this is where I'm from. It will have no relevance whatsoever. It's have you let Christ become your deliverer? Moses, God used Moses as their deliverer, and the Red Sea's phenomenal, but it's not about him leading us through the bondage of sin, the forgiveness of sin, the freedom that we have, and death and the grave. So the Lord is my salvation. Then he goes on to say in Exodus 15:2, he goes on to say that the Lord is my God. He is my God, meaning he's great and powerful, loving and kind, creator of all. But he says that he is my God. If you go back to Exodus 15:2, thank you. It says that this is my God, my God. And the word my means he's personal. I'm going to throw a veterinarian some of you may know in Versailles. His name is Dr. Dale Eckert. And Dale is a personal friend of Julie and me, of us. He and his wife Jenny, we go out to eat. We contact each other on a regular basis. He's the vet for our dog Solo. We hunt together in Arkansas. We duck hunt together. We shoot sporting clays together. He's just a good friend. He's a good man. In fact, he's such a, he retired, but his daughter Casey started her her vet practice, and I'll give you a shameless plug. They're right there near King's Assembly across from the castle if you want to know where their vet office is. But I want to say this about Dale. I would do retreats, duck hunting retreats in Arkansas, and he would go with me, and we would do Bible studies at night, actually during breakfast, which breakfast was about lunchtime, and then we'd have Bible studies at night, and then we would pray in the duck blind. And if you're wondering, in Arkansas, shooting time is actually on a clock. It's not sunrise. Like one morning, you shooting light may be 6:38, and the next morning it may be 6:42. So even if the ducks are coming in before shooting light, it's a no-no. You understand what I'm saying? You got to wait till the time is designated for you to start your hunt. So we would use that downtime to pray. And I love to call on Doc, and he's such a professional at what he does. I said, Doc, I know legally you can't operate on me, but I'd let you operate on me. He's so good at what he does. And I would call on Dale to pray. And Dale always started off his prayer like this. In fact, it makes me tear up. He would just stop and say, he's got a big old strong voice, and he would say, good morning, Father. And I was just pause. Good morning, Father. He said, every time he prays in the morning, Dale starts his prayer with good morning, Father. And it's just so personal. It's not this ritual. It's just, it was as if nobody else were in the duck blind but him. You know? Good morning, Father. Listen, when life is too much, we cram too much time and too much activity and too little time, we're overwhelming. Whether you've got three refrigerators out, two air conditioners out, you got a line leak, a water leak, you got to do more at a playground than you want to do, and you hear best friend, one of your brother's best friends just taking his life, and people are getting cancer, and people have passed away, and accidents have happened, and I don't know about you, but when I run to the Lord, I don't go, Lord, this is Hope Church running to you. I go, it's Jeff running to you. It's a personal relationship. The Lord is my God. I want him to be our God, but guys, when I go to him, he's my God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Father. So he's the God of my worship and my praise. He's who I go to and run to, and he's absolutely where I hide. And then lastly, in Exodus 15:2, it says, I will praise him. The Lord is also my father's God, and I will exalt him. What does that mean? Moses is attributing the faith of Abraham. He's saying, God, you have been faithful to the generations of Abraham, and you are faithful to my generation. And you will continue to be faithful. You are my father's God, meaning Abraham being a father of our faith. I was recently read a prayer by Charles Spurgeon called The Prince of Preachers in the United Kingdom. And in his prayer, he prayed for the future generations of his family that he would never know. I pray that they will know you. And I pray they will have confidence and faith and trust in you. And I read and reread that prayer of how he was praying for future generations, that Moses is saying, the Lord is my father's God, meaning Abraham. And I want you to see this, how important this is. Look at Galatians 3:6-9. Galatians says, just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness, then understand that those who have faith are Abraham's sons. Now, hang on, let's just have a little fun. Do you know, are you thinking about the childhood song like I am? Yeah. Father Abraham had many sons. Y'all with me? Many sons. I am one of them. So, you're okay. You'll make it, maybe. Maybe you'll sing louder if you go through the Red Sea, you know? Those who have faith are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and told the good news ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed through you, Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed with Abraham who had faith. And so he is saying, You are the Lord, and you are my father's God. Meaning, you have been faithful to the generations in the past. And I see that you are being faithful to my generation. And I know and have confidence that you're going to be faithful to the generations that are to come. And I exalt you, and I lift your name high. Here's the invitation. Did you get the song switch? You got it? Okay. Here is the invitation. Logan's gone, and our team's leading worship from now to the 1st of August in the Crossings in kids camp. And so Tucker's leading us today, and he's. I'm just really so proud of Tucker. But our invitation, we're going to sing, okay? And there's times in this, Tucker, I want you to back off that mic so we can hear them, all right? Now, you need to sing better than you did the first three songs. But we're going to sing the song you sang in the middle, like He Won't Fail. I don't even know the title of it. I don't know titles of songs, really. But we're going to sing that one. And I want you to sing it. I want you to sing it in your worship. I want it to be your prayer. I want it to be your song of confidence. I want it to be that for you. He won't fail. He did not fail the generations of Abraham and Moses. He hasn't failed our generation. You're going, man, our world is crazy. I mean, it's running around like it's confused, just like the Israelites did. But let me tell you, God's got a plan, folks. He thinks a lot deeper down the road than you do. And we gotta, our faith and trust is in Him because He will not fail, amen? And I want you to sing. If you need to see, you're at a point of surrender in your life, see me after the service. I'll be happy to talk to you then, okay? You got a decision you need to make, I'll be down here in the altar afterwards. But our invitation is gonna be us singing because the Lord has led us through. The great rescue has already happened. Just don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. He's led us through death and the grave. He's led us through the bondage of sin. He has led us, and we are free, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the invitation is you. You're going to lead us. You're going to lead us in this prayer and this exalting and lift Him up and the confidence that we had that He won't fail us. Tucker, you ready to go, my friend? Let's stand, church, all right? You're the choir, and let's sing it to you. And when he backs off that mic, you get louder, you hear me? And let's sing to the Lord. He has led us through.